It's showtime, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Overtime. It's on your airways. We are clocking in today at 6:02. Another fine, fine evening here in East Tennessee. Tanner Carson, Julia Ramsey, Cole McCormick with you with another edition of Overtime with you up until 8 o'clock here tonight. Intern Matt may or may not be here. I don't know. Thought he was supposed to be here, but if he shows up, I mean, Cole, I guess I have to send you out to let him in.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a key to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have to be on intern duty.
Okay, that's fine.
Potentially. But until then, we still got a nice little three-person crew here. What's now starting to feel like the usual Wolfpack is in here now, just another iteration of the Overtime Wolfpack. There's been mm-hmm. multiple Wolfpacks. The original was me, Lucas, and Brandon. And it's changed a little bit. Then it was me, Cole, and Brackman. It's changed. It's evolved. And now it's me, Cole, and Julia now. So, Julia, how's it feel to be a part of a Wolfpack? Did you ever think you'd be a part of a Wolfpack in your life?
I did not. And I like it.
Well, good. Good. That's what we strive for. That's what we strive for. Getting into things here, though. I mean, there's no use burying the lead here today. Let's talk about NBA Finals Game 5 last night. So many directions we could go. We know right now that the biggest story and the talk of the entire sports world right now, it's not just the fact that Golden State staved off elimination on the road. Won in the clutch, won by a point, bringing that back to Oracle for one more game. It's not that. We notice the fact that Kevin Durant, playing in his first game in 32 days, he comes out there, plays 12 minutes, has 12 points in 12 minutes, or 11. He had 12 or 11, one of the two.
Yeah, he was on fire.
Looking absolutely amazing in the small sample size that we were able to get of him. And everybody watching at home, I'm sure it's like, oh, here's the secret weapon. Well, not the secret weapon, but it's like here's what they've been missing. How can you dare say that this team was better off without him? How can you do that? Yada yada. He's out there stroking down threes, looking absolutely fantastic, looking unbothered whatsoever from the nagging calf injury. He was finally cleared, gave it a go, and then we know what happens in the second quarter. Goes down. Not re-aggravating the calf. It's the same leg, but nothing's been confirmed yet. But all the sources, including the Warriors themselves, they do believe it's going to be, in fact, a torn Achilles. So that's the biggest one right now. We'll talk more about that specifically later, but there's so many directions we can go from last night. KD is obviously the biggest talking point. Touch on a lot of other things here. The fact that Golden State, for the longest time, there was a point in the fourth quarter when they still had the lead that they had led that game for all but 53 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Even without Kevin Durant, you know, you still had Steph Clay, Draymond. You had some contributions from Boogie out there as well. They were still surviving. They were still taking it to Toronto. They were still staying just a little bit in front of Toronto. Then Kawhi Leonard goes nuclear. Kawhi Leonard had been having what looked like a very subpar game, something that somebody who had been so good throughout the playoffs, you're in an elimination game here. You have a chance to potentially end another dynasty, just like he ended that what was supposed to be a dynasty in Miami back in 2014. Had all that going for him. He had a pretty mediocre game. Then all of a sudden, late in the fourth quarter, just goes ballistic. Toronto goes on a 12-2 run. With 3 minutes left, they take a 6-point lead. It's absolutely fantastic. And then another talking point, Nick Nurse, inexplicably, after Steph Curry misses a three-pointer that would have made a three-point game, you get the ball back with all the momentum. Timeout. All but basically just completely shoots their momentum right square in the face. I mean, not in the foot. They didn't shoot themselves in the foot. That timeout, they shot themselves right in the face. I won't take credit for it. I'll give credit to Brandon Ort from the Blitz earlier today. I was listening to his take. Very Konzo Martin-esque. Mm. Mind you, a lot of these coaches who would mismanage games in situations such as that, they would try to call timeouts where there didn't need to be any. Nick Nurse did explain it, and he said he called a timeout to get the players some rest. And I get it from that point, but man, it's NBA, it's the finals. If Kawhi Leonard feels tired, if Fred VanVleet feels tired, if Kyle Lowry feels tired, man, they'll call a timeout themselves. They know their bodies. And at that point in the game, they're on pure adrenaline. They got that crowd behind them. They got Drake behind them right on the side. They're about to close this thing out in five. They're about to have a really nice comeback. And that timeout's called. Toronto has a lot of empty possessions. And then Steph Curry, Klay Thompson do their thing. Take the lead. And then we get to another story here. DeMarcus Cousins himself almost cost Golden State. Almost ended, single-handedly ended his own team's season. Three plays in a row he made. First, he had the basket interference, just gave Toronto the ball. Then, had a very stupid goaltend to make it a one-point game. Then, when Golden State has the ball, trying to run out the clock a lot, maybe get a shot to seal that one, commits an offensive foul. He does that all in the span of maybe not even a full minute. So we thought Boogie was going to be the GOAT, and not the GOAT as the greatest of all time, as in the scapegoat.
Yeah.
He was going to be that type of GOAT. And then the last play, Toronto has a timeout. They don't use it. Kawhi Leonard gets double teams. He has to get the ball up. You get Kyle Lowry in the corner. He gets a good look for a second. You think, oh, this is going to be one of the greatest things we've ever seen. This is going to be a reminiscent of those Blue Jays walk-offs to win the World Series back in the day. Toronto's going to get its first NBA championship. Drake is probably going to strip naked and run the court. It was going to be pandemonium up in the six. I have to say, I did see the angle. Draymond Green did reach his arm out, get a little bit of his fingers on the ball. Alters the shot, the ball hits behind the backboard. But in real time, though, it looked like that was the shot.
Yeah.
It looked like Kyle Lowry legit just, his shot hit the backboard. One of the funniest things I'd ever seen in real time.
It was really bad.
I was so mad after the game, though. I was so furious. Toronto. You had the champ on the ropes. You had them fatigued. You had them almost seeing stars. You were up six, 3 minutes left, your home court. It was going to be over. And then they let Golden State do the Golden State thing. And now it looks like this is going back to Toronto for Game 7.
I think so.
Yeah, more than likely.
Who wants to say something about this? There's a lot of ways we can go about this. And like I said, we'll focus a lot more on the big overarching story about Kevin Durant's injury on the next segment here. But right now, just about this game here, man. I will say this. This has been something that we've been kind of wanting. I mean, Toronto being up 3-1. I mean, that was an intriguing enough story by itself. I don't think anybody saw that coming. You didn't have too much drama, and then you had the drama start with, okay, KD's going to play, and then the KD injury, and then you had everything happen in this game that I just mentioned. At least we got some drama.
We got a lot of drama.
At the very least. Who wants to take this some type of direction? What was the most noble thing from last night that you took away? Open up the floor here.
I mean, I don't know if there's really one thing I took away from the game. I do think... The Raptors kind of choked it away in a sense, which is kind of hard to say when you're playing against, even though the Warriors are down KD, you know, still the best team in basketball. But, I mean, they had the Warriors on the ropes for quite a while and then just kind of at the end just kind of gave it away. I mean, that's really it for me. I mean, it sucks KD went down. I think it was, you know, it was pretty classless of the fans clapping and cheering when he got hurt. And I can understand it to an extent. I do. Because I'm not going to lie, I've done it. I've done it when we played certain teams. But at the same time, at the end of the day, it's still, you know, kind of a low-down thing to do. So those are probably the only two things. When I look back on game, what, five?
Yes.
I'll remember. Other than that, just another basketball game.
The Toronto fans, man, get that crap out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, I do understand that, you know, think about like your most hated player from the Florida Gators. Think about your most hated player from Georgia. One of your most hated Alabama players. Like, don't you always, like, especially, man, I think of somebody like I absolutely disliked back in the day, Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
I wanted somebody to go back there and knock his head off.
Sure.
And
me too.
It's one of those heat of the moment things. It's one of those like almost primal type of things.
Yeah, it really is.
You don't really think about, hey, still a human being under there.
Yeah.
And especially the fact that, man, most of these guys they haven't done anything, you know, awful off the court to warrant actually getting hurt that badly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking the majority of those Toronto fans that were initially cheering, once they found out how serious of an extent it was, torn Achilles, man, that's – Kevin Durant's not playing basketball next year.
No.
He's just not. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't if I was him. So once they realize that, they're probably like, yeah, this is probably really bad of us.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant, years ago, he was one of my favorite players. And I was in high school, loved Kevin Durant, thought he was an all-around decent person. And, of course, hated that he had to go to the Warriors. You can say what you want to about that, but the man didn't deserve to have that happen to him. Mm-hmm. He's not done anything egregious enough off the court to have something like that happen to mm-hmm. him. And that's ridiculous to think so.
Sure.
And
I agree.
I think something else last night, too. I think this is going to change the way a lot of just casual sports fans think about Kevin Durant.
Yeah, probably so.
And look at him, too. I mean, just him coming back there on the court, you know, that soon ended up, of course, being way too soon.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's enough to really change the way that people look at him, though.
Sure.
But right now, though, how do you feel if you're Toronto letting this one get away from you? But still at the same point, you know, Kevin Durant's obviously not going to play again. You just won two in the row at Oracle. The way this series has gone, it's been kind of all over the place at some points. It's still for the fact that the two games that Toronto's lost, they let that game two get away from them. Obviously, they let last night get away from them. They've been the best team in this series.
Yeah, they have.
They have been overall the best team in this series. So, I'm thinking anything could happen game six on Thursday.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm thinking just about anything's up for grabs. Golden State could come out energized. Toronto can still be kind of shell-shot. Golden State could win by 20-plus. On the flip side, Toronto could come out and win by 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen here. Where do we think this goes from here?
I don't know either. It's such a toss-up. Just the way that, like, you know, Warriors have had spurts of greatness like they did last night, like Steph's hitting threes, Klay's hitting threes. But then again, they're also all – pretty much all their stars are banged up. So it's just, you know, it's just a matter of momentum. And you think Warriors had the momentum now that they won last night. But like you said, Raptors could come out at Oracle Arena the next game and just blow them out. Like, there's no way of knowing.
And here's the thing, too. The likelihood that Golden State's hitting 20 of 42 from three. I know they're the Warriors. I know they're Splash Brothers. That's still a ridiculous amount of shots to hit against a team like Toronto. Because here's the thing. This really all came down to the fact that Golden State made more than average from three. And Toronto, mm-hmm. they were terrible. 8 of 32 from deep. Mm-hmm. That's what it came down to.
Yeah.
And at one point, gaining a point about anything. But that was really the overarching theme. I mean, both teams were terrible taking care of the ball. Toronto had 13 turnovers. Golden State had 15. Both teams had an equal amount of fouls they dished out. It was really those three-pointers.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was really those three-pointers. And give credit to Golden State, man. They could have completely folded up right after KD went out because, Man, that wasn't just him, you know, tweaking it again, just taking himself out. He had to be – he was carried back to the locker room by, like, his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a very emotional scene. Now, yeah. Obviously, you could take that one of two ways. We saw what Golden State did last night. They let that kind of rally the troops around. They let that motivate them. Or they could have just collapsed, folded. They could have said, no, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Played a little better without him on the court.
A little bit, yeah.
Not to say that they're better without him. I'm just saying in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They still had that momentum here, though. So I don't know what's going to happen here. I think we're in for seven games.
I do, too. I think it's anybody's series. It looked like up until the end of the game last night, it was the Raptors all the way. But even with Kevin Durant out, going back to Oracle, it seems like Steph and Klay have found their stroke. If they can continue to do that, I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors take it in seven. But then again, the Raptors, they won twice in Oracle just a couple days ago, so they've proven they can do it. So I agree, I think it's seven games, and I don't know who to pick. I think it's a toss-up.
Talk a little bit more about this on the other side, specifically the Kevin Durant injury, the reaction to that, and really, since it's a matter of him getting clear by the Golden State medical staff, we got to point some fingers about blame here, too. I mean, you really have to. We'll get to that when we come back here. Open up the phone lines, too, if you'd like to weigh in with your take on last night or anything else that's on your mind. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Overtime rolls along here on Fan Run Radio. Talk about this KD injury last night, because it has a lot greater impact than just this series, than just next season for the Warriors. This is going to affect this offseason for the NBA. This is going to affect next offseason, too. We may have diverged. I forgot who described it as this, but somebody described it as the butterfly effect.
That's
one of those
good
things.
Point.
If one thing changes, everything we're expecting this offseason with potential suitors for Kevin Durant trying to have him leave Golden State, he's got that one more year, left on his deal. Yeah, everything's changing now.
It is.
Kevin Durant, of course, it's not officially confirmed, but it's pretty much 99.9% chance he has torn his Achilles.
Yeah.
And if you were unfortunate enough to watch that video, the up close, yeah. He tore his Achilles.
Gut-wrenching.
Cringe-worthy.
It looked, I don't want to describe it too much, but it really looked like either like an earthquake like happened in there, like a bullet ripped through.
Yeah, it shuddered.
Oh.
Yeah, it was rough.
I
couldn't stand to watch it after like one or two times seeing it. I was like, okay, I'm done.
I will say, obviously I hated seeing it, but like, it didn't make me nauseous or anything. I've been desensitized to stuff like that, especially in sports injuries, because all you gotta do is see Kevin Ware's thing for the first time, and then
I watched that live.
I did too.
Crazy.
I was at a family Easter lunch.
Oh no,
man.
Easter.
That was a great place to see that. If you see the Gordon Hayward injury, you're gonna be desensitized. It was still pretty bad though. Obviously, that goes without saying. Man. Talk about it didn't look like the Warriors won last night after the game. Bob Myers, Golden State GM, he's also the president of basketball operations, too. He sat down in front of the media last night, and he cannot contain his emotions here. We got this audio of him, the first comments that he made to the media after last night's game.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know the extent of it. He'll have an MRI tomorrow. Prior to coming back, he went through 4 weeks with our medical team, and it was thorough, and it was experts, and multiple MRIs and multiple doctors, and we felt good about the process. He was cleared to play tonight. That was a collaborative decision. I don't believe there's anybody to blame, but I understand this world, and if you have to, you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department.
Man.
Yeah, that's rough.
Bob Myers, is he... Do you think the reason he was reacting like that is because he knows, like, man, really screwed up here. Should have said, no, you're still not playing. Maybe he's thinking maybe we put pressure on him to come back that we shouldn't have.
Yeah, I mean.
Or maybe he just knows he's about to have a big mess on his hands.
I think it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I don't know who you could point the finger at other than him, unless Kevin was just so adamant about playing. I mean, maybe if that was the case, you could put a little bit on him. But at the same time, I mean, you have to listen to your doctors and the training staff. And if they okay it, that has to be who's to blame. But I don't know. I don't think anybody's really going to know who. I mean, you know, he said he's the one that gave the okay. But he's not the only guy that's going to go through.
Doctors did give him the okay. Doctors are also human. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's misdiagnoses all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing, though, that stuck in my mind before tip-off last night, I was sitting down in my living room watching it. Doris Burke, who's absolutely one fantastic at her job, by the
Goat.
Way. Just like to say. When she said that, yeah, he's going to play, he's going to get his regular game minutes. And when she said, though, that she was told that there's no fear that he's going to re-injure it, the worst thing he could do is maybe tweak it. And that's what Steve Kerr told her. That's what Steve Kerr told her, informed by the medical staff. When he said that, I'm thinking, wait. How can you say there's no chance of re-injury?
Yeah.
There's always a chance.
Anybody can tear their damn Achilles walking out into this parking lot.
Yeah.
Like, let alone playing a very fast-paced sport at the highest level in the world.
That it was said for a reason. That's not just something you kind of say in passing. It was said for a reason.
I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around that. Is that them maybe like foreseeing just the chance that he did actually re-injure it badly?
Yeah.
To go ahead and say that and say, oh, well.
Cover their tracks a little bit.
Thought there was no chance. It's just a freak accident.
Yeah. Maybe. It would make sense.
Oh. Yeah. 32 days since he had played. Maybe. That there is a big combination of KD was feeling some pressure to come back. It's like, hey, man, we need you. I mean, like, now more than ever, you've been out a month. Mm-hmm. If you feel like you can give it a go, give it a go. He was doing fine pregame.
Yeah.
He was doing his perfect shoot-around routine. He was dancing in the tunnel.
Yeah.
He looked to be A-okay.
Yeah.
He looked okay in the game.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things. Maybe it did come back way too soon because – it was just a regular movement of his foot. Snap.
Yeah.
Snap. Out for a year.
Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing is bizarre.
Is this going to make the Golden State organization look really bad?
It could.
I think they look really bad right now.
I think they do, too.
I think as of right now, it looks like a very selfish move from them to play him last night.
Yes.
Because you look at it, they won by 1 point. They needed every single point KD gave them. If he didn't play, they lose, and the Raptors are the new champs. So right now, as it sits, in my eyes, it looks like a very selfish move from the Warriors. Of course, I don't think it's going to come out like that. But as of right now, that's what it looks like. Because I don't think, no matter how bad Kevin might have wanted to play, no matter how bad he's like, no, I'm good, let me go. If there's no chance he could play, you would think the medical staff and team doctors would not let him out there. So I think you can kind of discount that. I don't think Kevin saying, no, I'm playing, is good enough.
There's a lot of things in the very near future starting this offseason that this just changed. Let's talk about the free agency thing just a second. But sticking on the playing around an injury thing, healing from an injury, this is going to make more people look at what Kawhi Leonard did in his last season with the Spurs, saying out that amount of time. It's going to make the load management, as they call it, these players resting an extra amount of games during the regular season to prepare. It's going to make a whole lot of people, players in the NBA, look at that and say, you know what, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely yeah. fantastic idea. You don't want to say this is going to make players not trust some doctors, their team doctors, but it might be a good thing to cause skepticism.
Yeah.
This is changing a lot. Now, let's get to where this changes the free agency thing. The destination that Kevin Durant had been most connected with going this free agency cycle, this offseason, was with the Knicks. The Knicks, of course, they cleared a crap ton of cap space. They had sent Porzingis to Dallas. They're getting ready to get Kevin Durant. He's also been connected to maybe going to the Clippers, potentially teaming up with Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, one of these super team type of things. He's not going to play basketball for another year. Achilles tear, that's 9 to 12 months, but the rehab process even after that is long.
Mm-hmm.
Players usually, everyone has said that even when you're good to come back, you still probably need like a full season before you can get back to the form you were in prior to the injury.
Yep.
Do these teams still try to pursue Kevin Durant knowing that they're not going to have him next year? Or if you're KD, maybe you say, I'll listen to these offers, but hey, I can take my $31.5 million player option this next season for Golden State and not play a damn game.
Yeah.
I just set rehab, see about the 2020 free agency cycle. But then, of course, no matter what he decides to do, that's going to affect Kyrie Irving. That's going to affect Anthony Davis. Maybe even affect Kawhi Leonard, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe some of these players have been interested in hearing some offers about teaming up.
Mm-hmm.
And all the players that would have been affected by a deal one way or the other, it's going to change everything now.
Yeah, yeah.
But just sticking on Kevin Durant, though, if you're a team 1-2%, let's just say you're Knicks, do you still try to offer him a pretty sweet deal, knowing that you probably won't get prime Kevin Durant for 2 years?
I mean, yeah, in a way, I think so, just because of the kind of talent and player that he is. I mean, I think – I don't know if I'd go as far as saying he's the best player in the league. I still think that's LeBron, but he's definitely – if he's not, he's definitely number two or 1B. So with the when the best player in the league is interested in you, even if he does have to sit out for the first year, I think you go ahead and throw him the money. I think you do. I mean, because when he comes back, you know – 2 seasons from now, ESPN, everybody's going to be talking about the KD, what's the word for it? The KD
comeback
tour. Get back tour, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. That's what they're going to be talking about. I think he's going to tear it up in 2 years. He's going to be out for a year. He's going to have a lot to prove. So whoever he's with, I think is going to have a great season. So, yeah, I think he's a good enough player and a good enough investment to throw that money at him, even though you're not getting anything outside of maybe jersey sales for the first year.
I read a Washington Post opinion on this too. I don't remember the writer's name, but it was in the Washington Post. He's thinking a radical idea that the Knicks could do, go ahead and just go ahead and sign him this year, knowing that you won't get him, free up whatever other space, tank another year, year so you can get another high draft pick next year. And you build up a young, talented roster around Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I agree. That'd be smart.
Would that be a route to go?
Yeah.
Julia, what say you? Do you let's just say you're Kevin Durant. Do you try to listen to these deals from other teams, or do you just sit with the Warriors, take a player option, just rehab a year?
No, I agree. I think he just needs to go ahead and go to New York, or go wherever he feels like he needs to go. Rehab, take his time, and then come back. Because, you know, he's got the talent no matter what. He's still going to be relevant when he comes back. So if he's wanting to get out of Golden State, like it sounds like he does, then just go ahead and go.
Give you just a timetable in your mind here before we hit this next break. ESPN Stats and Info, they have a list of, since 1992, some notable NBA players to suffer a torn Achilles and the amount of days between their next game. Let's run through this here chronologically. 1992, Dominique Wilkins towards Achilles, 283 days between games. LaFonso Ellis did in 1997, 222 days. Elton Brand in 07, 243 days. Chauncey Billups in 2012, 296 days. Kobe towards Achilles late in his career in 2013, missed 240 days.
Yep.
Yeah, Wesley Matthews missed 237 games. I'm sorry, 237 days. Wow, not games. In 2015, Rudy Gay missed 273 days. And somebody who knows a lot about this that Kevin Durant can talk to, it's his teammate DeMarcus Cousins. Boogie missed 357 days.
Golly. Yeah.
Almost an entire year between games. It's going to be a long, long process here.
Yeah.
But this is definitely we've diverged into an alternate universe right now. Yeah. It's basically what has happened.
It's crazy how things can change in such a short amount of time.
It's going to be the norm of, hey, the season's going to end, Golden State Toronto wins, whatever. What happens with KD? What happens with these other players? Everything's got flipped upside down now.
Yep.
So definitely something else to follow in the NBA, NBA league that's definitely not short on drama at any point here. Hit another break, 865-546-8200-546-8200. Back with more Overtime on the other side. You're listening to Fox Sports Knoxville. Tennessee basketball got some good news today officially. I mean, they got like 2 weeks ago, but it's officially official. The Vols announced the signing of Victor Bailey Jr. today, the transfer prospect from Oregon. Of course, due to NCAA rules, he will have to sit out this upcoming season, but will be ready to go in the 2020 season. So good news for Tennessee basketball. Of course, I told you yesterday, awaiting on the visit from Kerry Blackshear Jr. this Friday. Show him a good time, everyone.
Please.
Show him a good time. But Victor Bailey Jr., though, if you're looking up towards the near future, he's officially signed today. Tennessee basketball tweets out, let's just go ahead and make it official. Welcome to the family at, what's his, at @VBailey_ball.
Oh, wow.
Make your own innuendo there if you want to. Balls with three
wow.
L's in them.
A lot of L's.
Anyway, he's officially here. Cannot wait to see him on the court eventually sometime here.
Mm-hmm.
We continue on with the hashtag list season, though. We got some more lists. We got some more lists about college football. Don't you love lists?
Yes.
Love lists.
Big fan here. Athlon Sports has a list for you today. They ranked every starting quarterback in the nation.
Hmm.
The wow. SEC landing 8 in the top 35. Of course, I'm not going to go through all 130. Let's just focus on the SEC. So they ranked every SEC quarterback, of course. Let's go ahead and start from the bottom here. At number 76 out of 130 FBS teams, you got Riley Neal, who's slated to be the starter at Vandy.
Okay.
You know, maybe he won't rip us to shreds. Like,
wait, what number is this?
Number 76.
Okay.
In the country. Maybe he won't rip us to shreds. Like,
yeah. Shurmur?
I've already forgot. Oh, yeah, Kyle Shurmur. I was like, how am I forgetting?
I will never forget that name.
Like, he's our daddy. He's
he
officially
is.
Our daddy.
Yeah, he is.
Officially.
Did he start that game in 2015, the last time we won? Has he started all four?
I'll look it up.
I'd like to say we have at least one win over him, but he's got three wins over us.
Yeah.
Disgusting here. Right next to Mr. Neal at number 75, you got Ben Hicks from Arkansas. Hmm. Again, some of these guys, I don't know their official starters, but they're at least the slated starters here. We continue. Number 64 is someone who did start last season. Someone who I think is a hilariously awful quarterback. Terry Wilson from Kentucky.
Yeah, no.
Just trash. Just trash. He can run. But one of the worst passers I've ever seen.
Not scared of
him. Quite some time. Right next to him, one spot ahead of him, the presumed starter, I guess, at Auburn here at number 63, Joey Gatewood.
Hmm.
Joey okay. Gatewood. That just sounds like a
where's FCC. He at?
Auburn. Number 63.
Okay.
Sorry. Moving to the top 60 here. At number 58, you got Matt Corral from Ole Miss. I'm going to assume it's Corral, not Coral. Matt Corral. Is it Coral?
I think so.
Is it actually Coral?
I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay then.
I think.
Shout to all the Coral.
Sure.
Number 57 in the country, Mississippi State. Mississippi State slightly beating out Ole Miss here. You got is it just Keaton Thompson or Keaton Thompson?
At Mississippi State.
Keaton Thompson.
It's not Keaton. It's like a different pronunciation.
Anyways, 57. We get a big gap here until you see another SEC quarterback. And here's the top 33. Once again, SEC has 8 quarterbacks in the top 33. This is according to Athlon Sports. At number 35, Jarrett Garantano.
Oh! Whoa!
Watch out.
Ours?
Yeah. Do you agree with him being the 35th best starting quarterback in the country?
I mean,
yeah.
I think that
sounds about right.
Yeah, I think that's a good grade, honestly.
Yeah.
I think it's
not mad at it.
I mean, these guys behind him, a lot of these guys haven't like played yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's fair to rank guys who haven't played yet lower.
Yeah.
I do like it that he's at least 30 spots ahead of Terry Wilson from Kentucky.
Yeah, I was just about
at
say
least
that.
We have a better quarterback situation than Kentucky does.
Yeah. That makes you feel good.
At the very least, who is above Jarrett Garantano of the 7 SEC quarterbacks? Well, let me give them to you. Jake Bentley, number 29 in the country, South Carolina. At LSU, you got Joe Burrow in number 28. Here's your top 20. At number 20, Kelly Bryant, Mizzou.
Okay.
Number 19, I know he did have a decent year last year. Felipe Franks from Florida.
Yeah.
If you told me to rank all the SEC quarterbacks last year out of the 130 starting quarterbacks in the country, if this is before last season, I'm putting Felipe Franks like 80.
I think so too.
But he's definitely improved. Number 13 in the country, Kellen Mond of Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Very good season last year.
Yeah, he did. He had a great season.
And your last two, no surprise, it's Jake Fromm and Tua. Tua is number one, no shocker. Where's Jake Fromm ranked at, you think? Of the entire quarterbacks in the country.
Two is at number two?
Two is at one.
Two is at one.
Where's Fromm?
8.
No, 10. Higher. Higher. Higher as in closer to one.
Oh.
2.
3.
No.
4.
5.
4. 4. Wow.
Fourth in the country.
Wow. Okay.
Are we that impressed by Jake Fromm? I think he's just an okay quarterback on a really good team.
I mean, he's decent.
I'd agree. I think having Jim Chaney as his OC really helped him. I think if Jarrett Garantano had Jim Chaney his entire career at Tennessee, like Jake Fromm did at Georgia, Garantano would be top 10.
Also, having a starting offensive line, 4 and 5 stars coached by Sam Pittman, the best offensive line coach in the country, doesn't hurt either.
That too. Nope. Yeah, that too.
Also, having a bunch of 5-star running backs to hand the ball off to when you need to run.
Yeah.
So he's just the benefit of being on like a really great team. He's a good quarterback.
He was. I mean, he was.
I wouldn't mind having him. Hell, I'd take him over Garantano.
Oh, of course. He was.
I'm not trashing Garantano, you JG stans. Sorry.
He was highly sought after coming out of high school. It's not like he was some scrub that Jim Chaney just kind of, worked his magic on. I mean, he had some talent coming out of high school.
Let me see. Let me get this full list up here. I want to see who's the top 5.
So you're telling me 2 is number 1?
Oh. Yeah, above Trevor Lawrence.
I would definitely put Lawrence in
the I tell you, Athlon ranks as the worst starting quarterback starting this year. Mike Beaudry from UConn.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they are bad.
It's rough.
God, yeah, really terrible football. Yeah. Let me just get the top.
Back to your question, yes, Kyle Shurmur did play in the 2015.
We got a win!
We got one win
over. We got a win over Kyle Shurmur. Let's go!
3-1 against Tennessee.
You weren't perfect against us, Kyle.
He did have 3 touchdowns, though.
We did put 53 on them. Though, yeah. So that's okay. I'll run through a top 10 here. You got De'Aaron King of Houston. Adrian Martinez from Nebraska is at 9. Adrian Martinez is getting a lot of hype.
Yeah. I think he might pop off, and if he does, I'll be sick.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I will be sick to my stomach.
Yep.
Justin Fields, Ohio State at 8. He's not really played that much.
Yeah.
He's at 8.
There's a lot of hype around him. He needs to have a great season.
Shea Patterson, Michigan, 7. Jalen Hurts is 6.
Okay.
I think that's slightly disrespectful of Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts is a little better than six. We'll see who's ahead of him, though. Justin Herbert, Oregon, at five. A lot of people think he'll be a number one overall pick next year.
Yeah.
Already told you, Jake Fromm's at four. Sam Ehlinger, Texas, three.
I think they should switch Ehlinger and Hurts. That's what I think. Hurts is a top.
I think that's fair.
Hurts is a top five quarterback.
I think that's very fair.
He is. He's top five, no doubt.
And no shocker, right behind two is Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence surpasses him this year.
Yeah. I think he's already better than him, just a personal opinion.
Sit another break here. Do our Mount Rushmore when we come back. When we come back, me, Julian, and Cole will give you our Mount Rushmore. I hope you're not hungry because we're doing our Mount Rushmore of hot wing sauces. Get to you on the other side here. You're listening to Overtime Fan Run Radio. All right, we're back here. Hope you're not hungry. About to do our Mount Rushmore of hot wing sauces, specifically, what's your favorite wing flavor? Let's go. Starting off with mine here, specific brand here, specific kind you can get at your local grocery store. I just like Frank's Red Hot Original.
Okay.
It's the medium. Best way to go. Perfect blend of spice and kick, but it's not going to torture you.
Okay.
Next, I think one of my favorites. I always like to pair it with like a regular wing sauce too if I get like the two different flavors at a restaurant. Garlic Parmesan.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Love the Parmesan.
Yeah.
It's really good. Next, lemon pepper.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotta ride with lemon pepper. And then finally, more of like a dry rub type of thing than a sauce, but I'm counting it though. Cajun. Give me that Cajun seasoning. And that's mine. Who's next?
I'll go next. My first one is medium buffalo, the hot wing sauce. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big spicy person, but I also, I like a little bit of spice, just not too much. And then next for me is sweet barbecue sauce. I feel between the medium and the sweet barbecue, those are my two go-tos when I go somewhere and get wings. I'm either feeling spicy or I'm feeling sweet. And then if I want to change it up, I got Parmesan garlic like you had. Love that. Or the teriyaki sauce.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Those are my top four.
Okay. Let's see. I'll start with one that hasn't been mentioned yet, and I don't know if y'all have had it, but it is definitely one of my faves. General So's. Have you had General So hot wings?
Not on wings, no.
It is absolutely fantastic.
Okay.
Definitely number one on my list. Next, as Julia said, the medium buffalo, the OG. It's just the right amount of heat. I don't like spicy either, so it's the right amount of heat for me, even though there's not a lot of heat. Next, honey barbecue. I love honey barbecue on my wings. I like honey and I like barbecue, so the pairing is phenomenal. And then, as you said, Tanner, in my fourth spot, garlic parmesan. You really can't beat it. It doesn't matter where you get it from. Garlic parmesan is always the best, flavors. Yeah. One of my faves.
Try not to sneeze. I'm sorry.
I was wondering what you were doing.
Yeah, I think I'm good. I'm good.
Okay.
But that's our Mount Rushmore. I'm hungry now.
Yeah, it made me hungry.
Yep.
I'm just glad none of us take in the super nuclear type of sauces.
No.
The ones you have to sign a waiver to, like, eat.
That is disgusting.
Never. I could not handle it.
Does anybody watch that show on YouTube, Hot Ones?
No.
Where they interview the different celebrities while they eat hot wings that get progressively hotter and hotter.
Seen like clips of it on like Twitter and stuff.
Is it good?
It's so good. They interview a variety of people. One of my favorites, they got Gordon Ramsay on to promote Master Chef Junior, like a kid's cooking show. Gordon Ramsay's on there every time he takes a bite. It's just F-bomb after F-bomb, dropping the C word.
Sure he could get to a pretty hot sauce though.
Mr. Ramsay, being a world-class chef, he came prepared, though. I'd never seen anyone do what he did. So, like, he had already brought, like, they already had, like, the milk set out for him and everything. Mm-hmm. Before he got to the milk, he pulls out of his bag, like, fresh limes. And he just, like, cuts limes there and just sucks on them. So, like, the acid would, like, it would counteract the spice.
Yeah.
He was so prepared.
That's smart.
And it's funny. All the time, he's just like bleep, 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 yeah. While he's asking, he's talking about a kid's cooking show. Oh, there's so many good ones.
Oh, Gordon, man.
Scarlett Johansson did one to promote Avengers. That was really good.
Post Malone did one.
Yeah, he did. Weird Al Yankovic has been on there.
Oh,
yeah. They got everyone. I'm looking. I got curious. Because the hotter like sauces they have on that show, they just go by stupid names. Yeah. I'm looking. And you can buy the sauces on this site here. You can get the Season 9 Heat Pack here. Three different sauces. $40.
Golly.
Listen to some of these names. Hellfire Detroit's Habanero. Hellfire Detroit's. I'm good.
Yeah, no thanks.
Let's see here. You have Trinidad Scorpion.
Ugh, no.
Chocolate Plague.
No.
What? I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Those crazy sauces always have names like Death of the Innocent 5000 on your tongue. Ah!
Like, yeah, it's,
no, just get me regular.
It's strange.
Buffalo sauce, please. I don't see how people can do that to themselves.
No.
Really don't understand that. That does it for hour one here of Overtime, though. Hour two is on the way here. One more hour to go on your Tuesday edition of Overtime. 865-546-8200. Jump on the Fan Run phone lines. Be back after this short break. Place where no one ever goes. Put it in your pantry with your cupcakes.